Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I apologize for that, Brad. we were supposed to get that at the beginning of the show, and it started midpoint here. But Brad Kubander is manager of media relations at Michigan International Speedway, and he's here to talk about what's going on out at Michigan this weekend. So with that, Brad Kubander, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, we're really happy that you're able to be here. I know you have a lot of really good things happening for fans this weekend. You have both the Camping World Truck Series that's racing this weekend, as well as the Sprint Cup Series. So let's start with just talking about some of the fan features that will be happening at the track this weekend.
Yeah, we like to think of when people come to the races, they come to our track, and they spend the entire week. We have 8,700 campsites, and most of those are full starting Monday, the week of the race. So people come here and spend all weekend long getting geared up for the big show on Sunday with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the Pure Michigan 400. But as we're leading into, we're continually looking, okay, what can we provide fans? What can we add on to the fans? What can we make it more interactive? So we're continually looking to do that, whether it's in our fan plaza, whether it's our new musical festival that we added this year called Calora, whether it's our party deck, whatever it may be, we're looking to take that next step to add to the excitement NASCAR has already provided us.
Absolutely. And Calora, that really has a lot of featured bands that will be playing, right?
Right. And what we try to, on that, what we try to do is on Friday night, 4011, it opens. So it's actually open while there's activity going on the track. During NASCAR Sprint Cup Series qualifying, Calora is open. So people can go out there, get the party started early and go out there. And we put alternative rock out there. Congos is our headliners for the night. Big Data's playing. So people go out there and have a good time from 4 to 11. We have a big foam and paint party. So who's not excited to get sprayed by some paint or by some foam, have a good time? We're throwing a happy hour from 4 to 6. And if you're having music, you're having a couple of drinks, you're getting sprayed by paint or foam, what more would you want? We even have s'mores out there for you. Go sit around the fire and have some s'mores. Really enjoy yourself. And then we do it all over again on Saturday, but then we do country. We have Tim Duggar, we have Logan Mize, Dylan Scott, Parmalee. So those are our bands on Saturday. So you go out there, have a good time, watch the races, and go out there, have a good time, and just extend it all night long.
Absolutely. It sounds like a lot of fun for fans. And like you say, they're there for the week. They're not just there for the weekend. So I think that's fantastic, all the things that you do for fans. And Michigan is one of those tracks, folks, that I have never heard anything bad about Michigan International Speedway from a fan perspective. They love that track and all the hospitality that they see there. But I also want to get into the racing that's going to be taking place there this weekend, starting with the Careers for Veterans 200 presented by Cooper Standard Foundation. It's going to be a big weekend for Brad Keselowski. It's a home track for him, and he's got some drivers that are doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's a huge race for Brad Keselowski. One, it's a hometown track for him. He wants to come out here, perform his teams. Last year, his teams kind of struggled with some things. He hopes to have it corrected. And with his foundation being part of this race, it just adds more to it for him. With the Brad Keselowski's Checkered Flag Foundation being part of this race, it just adds to it. And then his main sponsor for his structure is his Cooper Standard. So he comes out here, he entertains all weekend. But this race has significance for him. His dad's raced on this track. His brother's raced here. His uncle's raced here. So he's kind of really carrying on that family tradition of racing at MIS, and he wants to bring home that win. First, his truck series on Saturday, and then in the Sprint Cup series on Sunday.
Absolutely. It's a really big track for Brad Keselowski. Now, Johnny Sauter is the defending winner from Thor Sport Racing. Matt Crafton is second now in the point standings. Tyler Reddick actually passed him up last time. And so Matt Crafton is playing a little bit of catch-up. It's a 1.5-mile track. So what are his chances this weekend, you think?
I think it's a great chance. I mean, when you talk to the Truck Series veterans here, it's full-on go the entire time. And they look forward to this track. This is one of the best tracks they come to all year long as far as racing. With it being 2 miles long, people in the Truck Series, they create such a draft behind them that it's really, you don't see as much pack racing as Daytona Talladega, but here the draft really plays an effect in the Truck Series. And you can see a lot of great moves coming down the front stretch or the back stretch leading into the turns. And with the turns being so wide, it kind of lends itself to a lot of passing. But with Crafton, he kind of likes that. So I look for his chances to be really well. He knows how to work the draft, whether he's in front, whether he's in the back. And being a veteran, and with his team winning it last year, he's going to have a lot of great knowledge. And with Thor Sport being so close to MIS, this is a great opportunity for them to basically have two consecutive wins at a hometown track. So I know they put a lot into this race, and I think he has a great shot to win it.
Okay, now he's going to have to get through a couple of the young guns. Eric Jones is also a Michigan native from Byron, Michigan, and he's been having a fantastic season.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic season, and this is his first time to be able to race on this track. He was never old enough to race here. He finally turned 18, so now he can come out here and race and see what he can do on this track. And he's proven that he can win on any type of track, with a short track, a big super speedway, a mid-sized track. He seems to always run up front. And with his team owner being Kyle Busch, I'm sure he's getting a lot of great coaching right now leading into this race. And we shall see where it leads for him.
Absolutely. I think truck racing right now has some of the best racing in NASCAR. And for me, it's one of those do-not-miss events of the weekend. So they didn't race last weekend. They're back this weekend at Michigan, and I think fans are definitely going to want to tune in for that. Of course, if you're out in the Michigan area, you've got to go to Michigan International Speedway to see the truck race there on Friday night. But let's move on, unless you had something else you wanted to say about the truck race, Brad.
Yeah, our truck race is Saturday afternoon. We got qualifying Friday night, and then truck race is Saturday afternoon.
Yes, thank you. And what time is it on Saturday afternoon?
It's at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Right. So, and the truck race is so quick because it can go so fast around the track. You'll be really surprised how quick this truck race gets over and how much strategy will play into it. So be sure to tune in, and you'll be on the edge of your seat the entire race.
I believe it. I believe it. It's just fantastic racing. And like you say, you know, the Truck Series drivers really love racing out there as well. So that's always a great combination. Now, I do want to talk about the Pure Michigan 400 that's going to be going on Sunday. And they're driving with a new package. They're doing the high drag package at Michigan this weekend. And how are you guys, how's that looking for this weekend?
From the teams we've talked to and just talking a little bit with NASCAR, they're really interested in seeing this package on track at our MIS. See what it does down the front stretch and leading into the big sweeping turns that we have here. And with them being so wide, they think we can get a lot of passing leading into the turns, which would be great for us. They're talking a lot of, it'll be a lot of drafting going on with this package. The front car will break the air, and the second and third cars in line can kind of suck right up to them. And then leading into the corners, those back cars can get a sort of a slingshot around the front cars and make the pass. So we'll see what it's like. I'm looking forward to Friday's practice, actually, kind of see what this does. It's given them an extra hour on track. And I'm really interested to see how this high drag package works at Michigan. And I think it's going to be a great package and be interesting to see.
Now, I know one of the things that NASCAR did to is to kind of change the package a little bit to help cool the cars because there were some heat issues that happened at Indianapolis. So that's something that's going to be a little bit different than what they had at Indianapolis.
Right. Each week, the way these cars are set up, teams can select how many vents they want to open to help cool the driver. If it's cooler outside, they shut the vents up, and that helps the performance of the car. But the more vents you open up, the more drag it causes on the car. So it's kind of, okay, do you want to cool your driver, or do you want to go for performance? NASCAR's taking that out of their hands this week. Said, okay, we're going to do this for sure. If you're going to do more, great, but this is your mandate this week to help the driver out.
Okay, so we probably, even though I think, I don't know, I'm from Illinois, and they're calling for some really high heat this weekend in Illinois. Is it the same in Michigan?
We're supposed to get mid-80s,
okay,
which is warm for us. I mean, this is probably, our weather this year has been kind of crazy. We haven't had this type of weather all year. So this is probably the hottest we've been all year. But
okay,
for people from Florida, it's not too bad.
That's probably true. So the other thing is that this is going to be Jeff Gordon's last ride in the Sprint Cup Series at Michigan International Speedway this weekend. He was the defending race winner because he won this event last year at this time. What's happening with Jeff Gordon?
Yeah, we're going to have a time for him tomorrow afternoon and that he can come out. We're going to give him something. Roger Curtis, our track president, is going to present him with something then. And then we're kind of really respecting his wishes of he wants to focus on running for the championship. He doesn't make a real big deal about his retirement. His main focus right now is on the championship and getting better and getting into the chase and performing. So we're really going to kind of honor those wishes of him. But you'll see some stuff pre-race during driver intros down on the track. We're going to do some stuff. And then we've painted some stuff in our tri-oval, the number 24 in our tri-oval. So you'll see that throughout the weekend on TV. And it's just a small token from us to him saying, hey, thanks for making racing at MIS and in the Sprint Cup Series so great.
Okay. Now, he's done pretty well at Michigan over the years. He won there, as I mentioned, last year. He needs a win to get into the chase this year. What do you think of his chances this weekend?
It really depends on how Hendrick Motorsports reacts to these new aero packages. They've kind of struggled the last two or three races as a team in general. So it'd be really interesting how quickly they can adjust to the aero packages and what they can do. So, yeah, he won last year. He set the pole qualifying record last year. But more than him performing well, it's what his three other teammates do and how well they can perform and work together as a team to put the best product out there for the team. So we'll know a lot more for them after Friday. But I'm not real sure how he's going to do. I think he could do decent, but I'm not positive on how the team in general is going to do.
Okay. And you know, Casey Kane is another one of the Hendrick drivers that has won at Michigan that really needs a win this weekend as well.
Yeah, and he's really struggled the last 2 weeks. I think he's finished 40th or worse the last two weeks.
Exactly. Yep, yep.
Including Pocono, he was like 40-30. He lasted five or six laps. So he desperately needs a win. He's way back in points. But what he needs to do, he needs to come out and run his race and not push it trying to get that win. I think the more he's going to do that, the more pressure he puts on himself, it's really going to hurt his performance. He needs to really come out, relax, kind of put what's happened the last 2 weeks behind him, and concentrate on this race. And if he does that, he could do well. But if he's still dwelling on the last two races, it could be another long day for him.
Yeah. Casey Kane can perform under pressure, which is good for him and his team. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens for him. Some of the other drivers, Tony Stewart also has a win at the track. Ryan Newman has two wins. We mentioned Jeff Gordon earlier has three wins. And Greg Biffle, he has four wins at the track, including 2012 and 2013, you know, where Jeff Gordon won last year. So what do you think of Greg Biffle's chances? Ross Fenway used to be the team to beat at Michigan.
Yeah, this is a hometown race for Jack Roush. He's from Michigan. His company is based in Michigan. He has a bunch of hospitality here at the track for both races. He brings a lot of his employees out. So this is a huge race for him personally, and then it just trickles down to his team. And you've kind of seen them. They haven't completely turned the corner, but they're starting to make strides in different areas. Biffle had a decent run last week. He was okay in Pocono. So you can see them starting to make a turn, starting to get the ship righted. So they can come out here. I know they put a lot of stock into this track. So maybe they can come out to this track and find some speed and run up front.
Absolutely. Now, another Ford Banner team, Team Penske, also has done really well at Michigan. They have seven wins. They have 25 top fives. They have 36 top tens, and they've taken four Coors Light poles. How do you see their chances this weekend? Because as we talked earlier, Brad Keselowski is part of that Team Penske organization, and he's going to be racing this weekend.
Yeah, he's part of that team. And with Roger Penske, used to own this track, literally own the track. So I know he wants to race well here, but he has one driver who's been up front the last couple races, finished either first or second the last two or three races, and that's Joey Logano. And he has a win here. So look for him to really race up front, right in the mix with Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. Those three have seemed like they're up front the last three, 4 weeks. So we'll see what they can do and how well they can run.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting race once again. And I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be Sunday afternoon, and fans can tune in at NBCSN for the Pure Michigan 400. What's the time of that race again?
That race starts at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon.
That's 2:30 Eastern time on Sunday afternoon, so fans will definitely want to tune in for that. I think it's going to be a game. It could be a game changer as far as the chase goes. Brad, I want to first of all say thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us tonight, and for sharing some of the things that are going on at Michigan International Speedway this weekend. Now I have Chris Knight, who's just now called into the show. He may have a question for you, so before you go, I'm going to try to bring Chris Knight into the show so that he can ask the question. It's kind of in a loop, so we may have to ask Chris to call back. It's not coming in. Okay, yeah, Chris is going to call back, and we'll bring him right into the show so that he can ask you any questions. Are there any talk about the hashtags that you have for this weekend, the social media outlets where fans can follow along, that type of thing?
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at MI Speedway. Facebook, Instagram, we're just MI Speedway. We try to make it easy for our fans to find us. I know I have a lot of great social media posts scheduled and a lot of great events planned throughout the track that we're going to try to get around to. And we want to bring people who may not be able to come out to the track, we want to make them feel like they're part of the action right here through our social media channels and get as much information out there that we can.
Okay. Chris Knight, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just landed.
Okay. We still have Brad Kubander here. Did you have any questions for Brad before we let him go?
No, actually, I was listening to him as we were texting in. I think the good thing about Brad and his staff and Sammy and Roger Curtis at Michigan International Speedway, they do a heck of a job. Actually, they get a lot of kudos. As everybody knows, I'm an avid SiriusXM listener, and the fans were calling today just out pouring the support out that Roger and his staff does at Michigan International Speedways. And I guess the one thing from Brad is, do you guys realize how much credit you guys get from the fans that you guys are one of the most fan-friendly tracks on the circuit?
We get some feedback from our fans, and Roger gets a lot of it because he's so interactive with the fans. He spends countless hours out in the campgrounds with the fans. He greets them. He rides the trams. And a lot of times on our social media channels, our fans take care of each other. If they have a question, we'll see a fan jump right in and answer that question and constantly praise us and help us along and help spread the word. And that's something we take a lot of pride in. If our fans like us, that's really going to spread it.
Yeah, and me being a Michigander, original Michigander, I think, having the Pure Michigan brand on for Sunday's race, I think how crucial is it for, the tourism department of tourism for Michigan to be involved with the track, especially promoting their Pure Michigan campaign?
Oh, it's huge for that organization to be part of the track, and it's kind of twofold for them. One, it gets their campaign out on a national level. They already advertise, but this kind of hits a different market for them. And secondly, what they do a lot for this track at this race, they'll bring in people who are maybe looking to open a business in the state or looking to expand a business. It's a great business-to-business opportunity for them at the track to kind of show off, hey, we have this right here. We can do this, or you have these opportunities to help your clients out or do different things like that. So it's kind of twofold for them of how they use our race.
Well,
I think sharing the biggest...
Go ahead, Chris.
I just think that here's the thing. We're seeing so much going on with NASCAR tracks as far as renovations and upgrading their facilities, and Michigan International Speedway has gone through a multi-year, multi-millions and millions and millions of dollar project at Michigan International Speedway. And I think when it comes to fan advocacy and fan-friendly tracks, I think there's no other track on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series circuit that does that, accomplishes that more than Michigan International Speedway. And I think that's why you'll see a lot of fans attend not only the truck race on Saturday, but the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Pure Michigan 400 on Sunday.
Yeah, and kind of what our theory is too. It's great to have the brick and mortar, the track, all the great amenities. But if you don't treat your fans well, they're not going to keep coming back and enjoying themselves all the time. So they're as important, if not more important, than maybe a garage or things like that. So we're continuing looking to help them out too, because they're just as important as some of the other amenities at the facility.
I couldn't agree more. And you know what? I told you at the top of the show, I'll repeat it again just to reinforce what Chris is saying here. I've never heard a negative thing about Michigan International Speedway. The fans just rate it over the top as far as being fan-friendly. And like Chris said, one of the best tracks on the circuit from a fan perspective. And I've always seen it that way. And if it's not on your bucket list as a racetrack to attend, you need to put it on your bucket list, because I think your fan experience, you will be pleasantly surprised if you've never been there before. It's a really fantastic track. So fans can follow you on social media this weekend. You gave the hashtags for them to follow. And, Brad, once again, I just want to give my thanks to you for being on the show tonight to kind of share your perspectives and let the fan, give some fans some of the preview of what they can expect at Michigan International Speedway this weekend.
Thanks for having me on, and we're looking forward to a great weekend.
Okay, take care now, and good luck to you this weekend.
Thanks, sounds good, and we'll see you on tomorrow, Chris.
All right.
Okay. Take care now. All right. That was Brad Kubander, and we do have Chris Knight with us. And Chris, you're going to be at Mid-Ohio. Is that right?
I'm 2 hours from Michigan International Speedway. Unfortunately, I will not be at Michigan International Speedway this weekend. I will be up at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course covering the NASCAR Xfinity Series race this weekend.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that fans knew
yep.
that, because I think Brad kind of thought you were going to be there.
Yep.
But you, as always, will have your ears to what's going on, your ears and eyes to what is going on at Michigan International Speedway. And
know. Yeah, and we'll break some news right here on Fan for Racing Radio. I was just informed that Tyler Tanner will be in the number 50 truck this weekend for Make Motorsports, and he takes over for Ryan Ellis, who is at Mid-Ohio this weekend qualifying the number 01 Chevrolet for Landon Castle. So there's a little bit of news. Tyler Tanner, of course, has been running some races this season for MB Motorsports. So even though I am here in Mid-Ohio, I still have my freshie connections there at Michigan informing everything that's going on.
Absolutely, and I think it's fantastic, Chris, that you were able to break that right here. One of the advantages to having our Thursday night show is getting that type of breaking news coming out for fans for the weekend.
And before we roll into some content, another thing that I broke, Sharon, a story that I broke this afternoon, actually a couple hours ago, is the fact that Dylan Kwasniewski will return to the NASCAR Xfinity Series this weekend. And I thought that was very interesting for him to, we're already more than halfway through the NASCAR Xfinity Series season, and he will drive the Obaka number 97 Chevrolet Camaro in Saturday's Nationwide Children's Hospital 200, and ride that's normally been fulfilled by Peyton Sellers and then Johanna Long over the last couple of weeks. So Dylan Kwasniewski, a Chip Ganassi Racing driver, will have an opportunity to get in a NASCAR Xfinity Series car for the first time in 2015. At Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course.
Right. Yep. More breaking news. And I think that's fantastic news. Dylan Kwasniewski, I think, kind of had a tough break last year. It was a rough transition for him coming in into the Xfinity Series directly from the Can-Am Pro Series, and that's after back-to-back champions in both the West and the East Series. He's a talented driver. He just needs to get that opportunity that he can really demonstrate his talent out there on the track. And Michigan, I think there's a reason they probably chose him for Michigan International Speedway. For Mid-Ohio. We're talking Mid-Ohio,
yes.
Right?
Yeah,
Mid-Ohio. I think there's a reason they chose him for Mid-Ohio. And I can't wait to see what he does on the track. I'm really looking forward to seeing Dylan back on track.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough scenario for Dylan Kwiatkowski. You know, he's used to working with the best of the best. And here he goes to Obaka Racing, and a team that's really built themselves up in 2015, and they don't have a hole. They have some resources, and Kevin Sawinski is over there as a general manager, and he has an awful lot of experience when it comes to NASCAR racing in general. But this is a team that's really fighting hard to stay alive in the series, and Victor Obaka is a new owner from Nigeria and doing what he can to make an impression here in the NASCAR Xfinity Series circuit. So Dylan Kwiatkowski is going to have to get used to a different corridor, if you will. If things go his way, I think Dylan Kwiatkowski could do a great job for the 97 team this weekend. But at the same time, he's got to realize that he may not have the equipment that he's used to working with in the past, and he'll have to adjust his driving style towards that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Chris. I think that it is going to be a big change because, as you said, Dylan Kwiatkowski is used to driving some of the best equipment available, and this will be a little bit of a change of pace for him. But I think in some respects it may be a good thing for him. We'll just have to wait and see what happens once he gets on the track. And see what happens at Mid-Ohio this weekend. Now, we did some talking already a little bit about the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series at Michigan. So before we move on to Mid-Ohio, real quick, do you have any highlights that you want to bring up about the Camping World Truck Series or the Sprint Cup Series before we get into the Xfinity Series?
I think it's good to note that it's a full field, more than a full field this weekend at Michigan International Speedway for the trucks. I think it's going to be good to see. We have, obviously, Alex Bowman making his NASCAR Camping World Truck Series debut, driving entry for Junior Motorsports. And then, obviously, you have Brett Jones Racing making their NASCAR Camping World Truck Series debut this weekend for Brett Jones Racing with Chad Finley aboard. And then you have Austin Dillon back in the 33 for GMS Racing and Ryan Blaney. And for those that were wondering, Shigeaki Hattori's number 18 entry will not be heading to Michigan International Speedway this weekend. So we'll have roughly 34 trucks is what I can count. 34 trucks were initially on the entry list for the Careers for Veterans 200, with Shigeaki Hattori not fielding his Hattori Racing Enterprises program. That takes the entries down to 33. And for a 32-car truck field, we'll see just one truck go home. But still, I think it'll be one of the stoutest fields that we've seen this season in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And as you know, Sharon, that these trucks can easily draft at Michigan International Speedway. So I expect it to be a good show on Saturday afternoon.
Another debut this weekend is Cody Coughlin for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's a development driver with them. He's going to be debuting. And believe it or not, this is Eric Jones' debut at Michigan.
Yeah, Eric Jones will be making his Truck Series debut at Michigan International Speedway. Cody Coughlin will be making his second career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series start, and first for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Of course, Cody Coughlin in the 54 that was recently vacated by Justin Boston. So Cody Coughlin, you know, I've been told, Sharon, that this is the one his only race scheduled right now for Kyle Busch Motorsports. So he's in some of the top-tier equipment, so it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts and races the Super Speedway. But the good news is he's got his teammate Kyle Busch and Eric Jones in the field, so he'll have plenty of experience to lean on.
Okay, now the information I have says that Cody Coughlin made his only NASCAR Camping World Truck Series start for Bill Venturini at Kentucky in July. So I don't know, but it looks as though...
Yeah, that's what I said. This is his second start.
Oh, his second start of the season, but his debut
start of the season.
With Kyle Busch Motorsports for Joe Gibbs Racing. Okay.
Well, this will be his debut with Kyle Busch Motorsports as well. So Not only has he got a 1-2 punch within his debut at Michigan, but it'll be a debut with Kyle Busch Motorsports. And that's going to be a lot of pressure for a young man, Cody Coughlin. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience in NASCAR or these trucks, but when you're going to hop into Kyle Busch's trucks, you're expected to do well. So it's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to the pressure.
Absolutely, and I look for him to be doing I think he's a talented driver, so, yeah, it is going to be interesting to see what happens there. Now, Johnny Sauter is the defending race winner. He wants to go back-to-back. Are you still with me?
Yeah, the performance hasn't been the performance hasn't been there from what I wanted to see out of the 13 truck this season. So in order for Johnny Sauter to be a contender to back up his win from 2014, him and Doug George are going to have to get on the same page and figure out a comfortable setup for Johnny Sauter, because I don't think Johnny Sauter has been happy with the way that his 2015 season has been going. Obviously, his teammate Matt Crafton's been in the thick of the championship battle, and Cameron Haley has really run well recently. So Johnny Sauter has some work to do to put himself not only back in his championship hunt, but an opportunity to win a race.
Absolutely. So it is going to be interesting to see what he does this weekend. Moving on to the Sprint Cup Series at Michigan.
Yeah, I think the highlight of the Sprint Cup Series race at Michigan. Obviously, we have 44 cars going for 43 spots, so only one car will go home. That's something that we're kind of lessened. From that perspective, over the last couple of weeks, we used to have been seeing two or three cars go home, and now we'll only have one go home this weekend at Michigan. So Josh Wise returns to the 32 for Go Green Racing, but it's also the second race sharing for the high drag package at Michigan International Speedway.
That's right. I think that's the biggest news coming out this weekend. Now, NASCAR has made some changes for the heating to kind of give some relief to the drivers. This weekend, and it's going to be in the 80s. It's going to be pretty warm in Michigan this weekend.
Yeah, NASCAR mandated a dual outlet duct will be used on the right side window to help ventilate the cockpit. So that should help penetrate any heat issues that were expected to be a factor. By having that duct, which I've been told is two holes in the driver's side window, I think that should help the drivers immensely. And it's expected to be very warm at Michigan this weekend. It's supposed to be in the 90s this weekend at Michigan International Speedway. So I think having that comfort and having some air come in the race car will be a big deal for these drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. But then we also want to see what they're going to do on the track. People were disappointed with the high drag package at Indianapolis. I think we're going to see a different picture at Michigan.
I do too, Sharon. I think that you cannot compare Michigan International Speedway to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There's just too big a difference.
Different.
Indianapolis is a very flat track that we compete on in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for the Brickyard 400. And obviously this is going to be a huge deal for Michigan International Speedway with the high drag package. It's going to be interesting to see how it all nestles out, whether or not we're going to have a drafting deal or if it's going to be just some pack racing and then they get spread out. So we'll just have to wait and see, but one thing's for sure, you're going to have a lot of people tuned into the TVs or at the racetrack to see what happens.
Yeah, I think especially, you know, starting with the practice sessions that will be taking place this weekend. Kyle Busch has been on a tear. I think Michigan could be a good track for him this weekend. What are your thoughts?
Who is that, Sharon? I'm sorry.
Kyle Busch.
He's now made it. Yeah, he's inside the top 30. So number one priority for Kyle Busch and Joe Gibbs Racing is to stay locked inside that top 30 with four races to go left in the regular season, because we have Michigan this weekend, and then we have Bristol, and then an off week, and then we go to Darlington and then Richmond. So it's going to be pivotal for Kyle Busch and Adam Stevens to make sure that they're nestled inside, safely inside the top 30 in the Sprint Cup Series standings by the time we get out of Richmond. But obviously the last time we were at Michigan, it didn't go so well for Kyle Busch. I don't expect rain to be any issue this weekend at Michigan International Speedway, so that will be a good thing. But definitely Kyle Busch is looking for a little bit of redemption after some hiccups here early in the season, and obviously off a second place finish last weekend at Watkins Glen.
Yeah, and running out of gas the weekend before that. Now, Team Penske also has been doing really well. Logano won last weekend. He swept the track. Brad Keselowski is a native of Michigan. What are their chances this weekend?
Well, Team Penske is the leading four team right now, and a track that we're used to seeing being dominated by Roush Fenway, Team Penske has hold that track in high regards here the last couple seasons. And it's going to be important for Joey Logano to keep the strength rolling. They need to keep this recent string of momentum going. It's going to be a clear indicator of what this team's going to be capable in the chase. And as far as Brad Keselowski is concerned, they need to get some momentum and some consistency on their side. Yes, Brad has been fast, but they haven't been able to seal the deal from start to finish. And that's been kind of uncharacteristic for Keselowski and his number two team. So it's going to be important as we go to the hometown track for Brad Keselowski this weekend for that number two Miller Genuine Draft Ford Fusion. And yes, he is carrying a similar paint scheme that we saw with Rusty Wallace back in the heyday. It's going to be important for Brad Keselowski to have a good run on Sunday. If he can't win, he just needs to finish in the top five or top ten to definitely give that team some momentum heading into Bristol.
Okay, now Bowyer and Menard both have some consistency going in their favor. Bowyer has 10 consecutive top tens. Menard has four straight top tens. What do you think of their chances this weekend of maybe picking it up a notch and maybe getting a win from either one of those guys?
Well, I haven't seen the speed that I wanted to out of Paul Menard or Clint Bowyer to say that they're going to be capable of winning per se. But what I have seen is I've seen that 15 team of Clint Bowyer start to turn the page as far as performance wise, and they started to run near inside the top 10 here a lot lately. So that's been a good thing. For Paul Menard, he's steadily or quietly been able to position himself to finish inside the top 10, and if not in the top 10, the top 15. So Paul Menard, he's one of these drivers where you kind of just forget about a little bit, but surely he lets those points stack up, and when it comes to chase time, he's sitting right there on the door knocking his way in. So those are two drivers that are right now inside the chase for the Sprint Cup, and they need to continue to have good runs over the next stretch of four races to ensure that they have a place when we take 16 drivers to the chase for the Sprint Cup at Chicagoland next month.
Okay. Greg Biffle, Roush Fenway Racing, typically a strong team. He won there in 12. He won there in 13.
Yeah, I wasn't really convinced. I'm not sure what to think what we're going to see out of the Roush Fenway camp this weekend. Of course, when we were there in June, Sharon, the teams were horrible. The Roush Fenway teams did not have their act together, and I think they were deep in the pack in the mid to late to the high 20s and just were able to get their act together. This is a place where it used to be called Roush Country, and simply because Jack Roush's headquarters is about an hour west of the Michigan International Speedway. So we'll see if the teams have learned something since their June run at Michigan International Speedway. The good thing is that Greg Biffle has been running better over the last couple weeks. May not have all the finishes to show for that, but that 16 team has improved. As far as Ricky Stenhouse and Trevor Bayne are concerned, they could roll out of the trailer and be competitively fast, but will they be able to carry that speed from start to finish? That's something that we haven't really seen from those guys a lot this season. We've seen some of that, but not a lot. So Roush Fenway Racing is going to be an interesting team to watch this weekend to see if they can get back on track and reclaim the title that was once theirs as the team to beat at Michigan International Speedway.
Okay, now two of the Hendrick drivers that I'm keeping an eye on this weekend, Casey Kanes had two consecutively really bad races. He needs he needs to make up some ground. Jeff Gordon is the defending race winner from last year. And this will be his final time at Michigan International Speedway.
So Casey Kane is in a do-or-die situation. He needs to either win or finish inside the top five to put himself back in contention for a playoff berth in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. He's well outside the top 16 range right now, and the only way that he's going to get back into this game is if he's able to either win a race or nail off four consecutive top fives or top ten finishes. That should help. But Casey Kane cannot afford to have any more bad races. We'll see if he and Keith Rodney can put the magic back together and put that number five in victory lane. Casey seems to think that they can do so. he sent a tweet out to his fans this week saying that he felt like the next four tracks were strong tracks for him in the five camp and that they could get the job done. As far as Jeff Gordon is concerned, I'm not sure he's ready to win in 2015. I haven't seen the speed out of that 24 camp that I'm accustomed to seeing, and nothing leads me to believe that any weekend this will be different. Look, Sharon, he went to Watkins Glen last weekend. It was absolutely dreadful, and it just seems like that his last season on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Tour can be one that he'd like to forget, per se, because the finishes just have not been there for Jeff Gordon in the 2014, and I think this was last weekend was another example of that. However, the race fans are hoping that Jeff Gordon can win on Sunday, because if they win, if Jeff Gordon wins on Sunday, then it's a free hot and ready pizza for NASCAR fans, courtesy of Little Caesars.
There you go. Okay. Anything else you want to mention before we move off of the Sprint Cup Series and into the Xfinity Series?
I'm good.
All right. Daniel Suarez and Darrell Wallace Jr. for the Rookie of the Year standings. Daniel Suarez is now 24 points over Darrell Wallace Jr. How do you think, what are their chances this weekend? Is Darrell Wallace Jr. going to close up the gap there?
We'll have to see. I haven't really seen the speed out of Darrell Wallace Jr. that I want to. You know, I don't think road course racing is necessarily his thing, and I think Daniel Suarez has learned a lot after destroying his primary car at Watkins Glen last weekend, too. So these road course races can prove to be pivotal or they can prove to be disastrous. You can win a championship, you can lose a championship in the stretch of racing that the NASCAR Xfinity Series is on right now. We're at the second road course in as many weeks. It's the second road course in 4 weeks for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Of course, they'll go to Bristol Motor Speedway next weekend, and then they'll hit back the road course for the third and final road course at Road America, Wisconsin, the following week afterwards. So we'll just have to see who is better off. The good thing about Mid-Ohio this weekend is neither Daniel Suarez or Darrell Wallace Jr. have any experience there, so you can kind of put them on an even playing field when they unload for practice tomorrow.
Okay, so that'll be an interesting contest to watch. Also, Joe Gibbs is still bringing back Boris Said and Kenny Habul.
Yeah, it's not surprising to see those guys come back, especially with the Michigan, with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series in another state, in another venue. So Kenny Habul actually was very fast last weekend at Watkins Glen, and his finish was soured by a late race wreck. So we'll see if he can rebound. And Boris Said obviously has been boasting lately that he's in the best equipment that he's ever had on a road course. So we'll see if he can execute on Saturday afternoon.
Okay, now the points battle is really heating up too, because Ty Dillon and Chase Elliott are both tied in second place with Chris Buescher still out front. They're 24 points behind Chris. What do you see there between that group? We're talking Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, and Ty Dillon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a matter of who can get through this stretch, Sharon. You know, Chris Buescher has lost a lot of points with Harrington in the last, 4 to 6 weeks. And I think that, you know, obviously having an exceptional run last weekend at Watkins Glen helped him very much. And Chris Buescher is going to need to have another stellar weekend. Obviously, he's the defending winner of the Nationwide Children's Hospital 200 at Mid-Ohio. So another strong one will give Chris Buescher some clearance as far as the point standings is concerned. But I'll tell you this much. If something happens to Chris Buescher on Saturday afternoon, then not only Chase Elliott, but Regan Smith and Ty Dillon will be right there to pounce on his misfortunes.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be – it could tighten up the points this weekend. We'll have to wait and see exactly what does happen. It's going to be an interesting points battle this weekend, I think, in the Xfinity Series. Anything else there that you want to talk about?
No, I just think it's going to be an interesting race. And, of course, I'll be sending live tweets and periscoping and everything from the track this weekend. So I hope everybody will follow me on Twitter, and we'll definitely look forward to bringing everybody the action.
Okay, there is one special note that I did want to bring up. The 6 and the 16 cars are swapping their teams this weekend.
Yeah, there's questions swapping crew chiefs. So Ryan Reed's crew chief has gone over to Darryl Wallace Jr.'s, I believe, right? Is that right? And then Darryl Wallace Jr.'s crew chief has gone over to Ryan Reed's.
So we're talking Chad Norris and Seth Barber.
Barber, yes. So Seth Barber is now with Darryl Wallace Jr. and Chad Norris is now with Ryan Reed. I'm kind of puzzled by this, Sharon, and here's why. I don't think that they've necessarily all run that bad this year. And I think Ryan Reed, look, I think Ryan Reed is a capable race car driver. I just don't know if Ryan Reed is the top caliber race car driver. There's a difference between the two. I think he can be a good driver and a settled driver, but I don't see Ryan Reed being a championship contender right now, at least not in the immediate future. As far as Darryl Wallace Jr., he's not afraid to get up on the wheel and get in there and mix it up and contend for wins and beat and bang, as we know that we've seen that this season. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I don't think you can pair off a road course to see if the communication is gelling. Maybe Bristol will be a key indicator, but I don't think that any of these road course races will help. Maybe Richmond and Chicagoland will be key indicators to see if these crew chief swaps have worked. But I don't think you can take it off of this weekend at Mid-Ohio for sure.
Okay, and another, Doug Reichert, who has been working with Matt DiBenedetto, he's not going to be there this weekend.
I believe it's Doug Richard. Doug Richard,
okay.
Right?
Okay, I always pronounced it Reichert, but okay,
yeah,
Richard.
So Gene Need come on board at BK Racing. Right. Actually, I spoke to Rhonda Pine last weekend, not last weekend, but the weekend before in Pocono, and he told me that Gene Need was over there at BK Racing, and obviously Gene comes to BK Racing from Premium Motorsports, which is where Josh Wise was before he left the team to pursue other opportunities. So we'll see how that combination goes. Of course, you know, Sharon, we know BK Racing is out there just trying to do the best that they can with everything. So we'll see how it works. And Matt DiBenedetto, I'll tell you this much, Ron Devine could not say enough about Matt DiBenedetto. And I think Ron Devine feels like that he hasn't given Matt DiBenedetto everything that he needs to really show his potential. But what he's been able to do, Matt DiBenedetto is able to do is make the best out of every situation. So I think that needs to be taken into effect, and we'll see how Michigan International Speedway goes this weekend for those teams.
Right. Okay. Any news updates that you want to bring up right now?
No, I think the K&N East race on Saturday night, obviously Motordrome Speedway up in Pennsylvania, a new venue for those guys and gals. So we'll have to see what happens with that race on Saturday night. Obviously an open test session tomorrow for the NASCAR K&N East Series at that 14th of a mile track. Got a heck of a championship points run right now between William Byron and Scott Heckert, and then Dalton Sargeant and others are creeping in there. I saw Austin Hill last night, and he told me he's looking forward to going to Motordrome Speedway this weekend. He told me that the track was incredibly bumpy, and he's not so sure how the cars will adapt to that, but he said it should make for some great racing.
Now, J.J. Haley, a K&N East driver, is going to get his chance in the trucks as well.
Yeah, J.J. Haley will make his debut for Braun Motorsports, which is, for those that are asking, yes, it is the same Todd Braun that was affiliated with Braun Racing back in the day. So J.J. Haley will make his NASCAR Truck Series debut in the number 31 Chevrolet Silverado next weekend at Bristol. And Dalton Sargeant, someone that we've been very high on, J.J. Haley will be in the 32 Brake Clip Chevrolet, while Dalton Sargeant, someone that we've been very high on this year, Sharon, will make his NASCAR Camping World Truck Series debut or attempt to next Wednesday at Bristol Motor Speedway in the number 5 Galt Toyota Tundra for Waters Motorsports. So two K&N East teammates making their NASCAR Camping World Truck Series debut with two different teams. It's going to be interesting to see how it all happens.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see as well. Now, some fresh faces that we're going to see in this particular race at the Motordrome. Dylan Hoffman will be in the number 94 car. Tyler Hughes, the number 8 car. J.P. Morgan, I always laugh when I see that. It just seems so strange. J.P. Morgan, the number 23 car, and Cody Rohrbach will be in the number 7 car this weekend. All new drivers.
Yeah, it's
Yeah, I think that, like I said, it's going to have a mix of everything. So I think that this race is going to be very good. And I think, you know, there's the veterans out there and the rookies and some new faces. I don't think you know what to really expect. We're just going to have to wait and see. But it's going to be fun for sure.
Okay. Now, the Motordrome, just so you guys know, is it's 150 laps for 75 miles. The track itself is a 0.4-mile semi-banked paved oval. So it's a little bit different than the road courses they've been racing on, and I think their next race is the road course. This is something that's kind of in between the road courses that could kind of mix things up quite a bit. Do you want to go ahead?
The Canaan goes Motordrome this weekend, and then they go to Virginia International Raceway, not next weekend, but the weekend after. And then they'll have two races ending after that, which will be Richmond International Raceway, and then they'll end the season at Dover International Speedway.
Okay. Now, William Byron is going to try to extend his points lead, I think, this weekend, because Scott Heckert now is just 14 points behind him.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be an interesting points race. That point race is gotten, you know, for a while, William Byron just checked out of the points lead and it didn't seem like he could be touched. And now all of a sudden some not bad performances, but just not great performances have allowed the others to close in on him. So four races left for those guys. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all irons out. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, I really want to see what Rico Abreu does this weekend, too, because he seems to do pretty well on these short tracks. And I think he's going to be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Rico's got a lot to prove right now, and we'll see how he does.
We'll see how he does. That is the UPMC Health Plan 150 at the Motordrome Speedway. That race will be broadcast on NBCSN at 7 p.m. on the 20th, which is next Thursday. Let's go ahead and move to the K&N West.
They're in action this weekend. I think they're
going to be at Evergreen Speedway
this
weekend.
Yeah, in Washington.
In Washington, the Napa Auto Parts 150. And there's a hot points race going on there as well.
Yeah. Obviously, the points race is going to be one to watch. And I think two drivers that they have are being eyed for this weekend for a good run is Brandon McReynolds and Nicole Behar.
Okay, definitely. David Mayhew is a strong driver in the West, so he could be one to watch as well as James Bickford. So there's a couple of other drivers to keep an eye on. Chris Eggleston has lost the point lead. I'm sure he's going to be wanting to try to get that back. Some fresh faces that we'll see this weekend, Dylan Caldwell in the number 6, Braden Havens in the number 83, Bobby Hillis will be in the number 0, Jesse Iwuji in the number 36, and Blake Williams will be in the number 55 this weekend. And this is in Idaho. He made his debut at Idaho State Line Speedway earlier this year. So this is really his second start.
Yeah, like I said, I think the Canaan, while we got our attention at Michigan and Mid-Ohio, I think the divisions are going to put up a great show this weekend.
Okay, now this is a 0.646-mile paved oval as well for 150 laps. Now we're coming close to going off the air here. We will continue the conversation on the other side that will be available via our broadcast in case we go off before we get finished here. Anything else that you want to make sure that we mention before we do go off air?
No, I'm pretty good. I think we covered it pretty quickly within 45 minutes.
Absolutely, and I thank everybody for allowing us to have the half hour later start time this evening. We'll kind of keep you posted for next week's show. Chris is at Mid-Ohio this weekend, and you can follow him at Knighter01. That's KNIGHTER01. And you do a pretty good job of keeping folks informed, not just on Twitter, but via Periscope as well.
Yeah, and it may seem like I'm at two tracks this weekend, but I'll only be at one. But I'll be updating everybody with everything that's going on from Michigan as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for all that you do, Chris. I look forward to talking to you next
Monday.
17th. Yeah, next Monday, August the 17th, for NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off. And real quick, I wanted to make sure that we tell fans why Zach is not here. Zach has moved on. He is going to be covering the NFL from now on, and is going with a different venue. We really enjoyed having Zach with us for the time that he was with us, and we're going to miss him a lot, I think, Chris.
Yeah, and we definitely wish him nothing but the best as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So just so you know, we are in the process of interviewing some other people for the position, and hopefully we'll have an announcement for you very soon on that regard as well. So look for us this coming Monday, August the 17th, for Fan to Fan NASCAR and Race Talk with Sal Sagala at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and then NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off with Chris Knight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on the Fan vs. Fan Radio Network. So stay tuned, folks, and I hope everybody has a great racing weekend, and we'll see you on the other side, okay? And good luck to you, Chris.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.